Welcome to Ever Beyond.
On Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, Tiranasau Radio, and peopletopeople.ning.com.
Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are on the revolving blue globe that we... and it is a globe, by the way, that we reside on. Flat Earthers, please follow this link. If you have been following the Alex Collier webinars, we will be announcing a new webinar at the end of the month, the webinar is at the end of the month, and we'll be announcing it within the next couple of days, and you'll be able to book soon. So check out alexcollier.org. What else news is after this? We'll just see what's going on this week. So today my show is pre-recorded. I'm recording this a few hours earlier. I'm currently traveling through time. And you'll be pleased to know my guest tonight is Veronica Ford Keane. She was the wife of Montague Keane before he passed the cross. And we say passed the cross, he didn't say died, because he was as alive as Dave was when he passed away. So what happened is I called her this morning just to say, would you like to come on my show? And we ended up having the whole show then. So basically this is the call recording, and I'm going to try and cut out as much of my stuff as possible to maximize Veronica's. So you might just hear me going, bleh, 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 and then another response from Veronica. So without further ado, here's Veronica Keane. Good morning, Veronica.
Yeah, I can talk.
Okay, well, let me just record this, and I can play it back later, and you don't need to stay up late. Is that all right?
Okay.
Great. So I'll just edit these pieces out that you're saying, and play them back later, so I don't have my ramblings and stuff like that. So you were talking about the Vatican, and you're talking about people that had been affected by the Vatican.
Yes, the Vatican is not what we think it is. The whole basis is totally evil. And they control humanity. I mean, all religions stem from what we call the Vatican. And its control of humanity is so clever. They make you fearful of death, and the fear of death is able to control people, because when Monty died, you can imagine we were having seances every week here, and I have the recordings and the questions we asked when he died. Does hell exist? No, it does not. There is no hell. There is no purgatory, there is no limbo. It is nothing like religion has told us. When we die, if I have damaged you in any way in this life, then I have to approach you and ask your forgiveness in the other life. Nobody forces me to. It is what is done. You ask forgiveness of the person you have hurt. It is nothing like the Catholic Church or any of the religions have taught us.
Mm.
And We asked all the questions. You can imagine, for the first time, you're talking to somebody who is on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, you know, what happens to people who are adamant that there was no afterlife? What happens to them when they die? And he said it takes them a little while to come to terms with the fact that, yes, there is an afterlife. And they go into what Monty called the antechamber. And spirits sort of look after them and help them to accept that, yes, there is an afterlife. And they were misled while on earth. And it's all very wonderful. I mean, Monty said, it is glorious. That's the only word he could think of to describe being on the other side. Absolutely amazing. And we have to. This is important. He said if people realized just how wonderful it is, they would be queuing up to die to go over instead of being fearful of it. Because, you see, those who control us get energy from our fear. This is why they kill. This is why there is always war in our world. There's always blood sacrifice going on. Because the black magic that is used to control us feeds off this fear. And they abuse children because, and when they kill them, they take the last breath of the child and drink the blood. And this is going on every day. And we're only just beginning to realize it. And we cannot sit back and ignore what's happening. We haven't got long. It has been arranged and planned that the banks will fall on the 23rd of September. Today is the 23rd of August. And this is why the Pope is going to America as one dark leader to another dark leader, and they will sign away our what little freedom we have. The Pope is not what you think he is. And we have to wake up. You know, meeting Harold Klaus Wähler was very important for me because he was the first person saying what Monty's been saying to me. And as I said, I did one impromptu little session with him, which will be on my website today. And
fantastic.
It's, oh my God, he hasn't just done the research. He's researched the solutions, the answers that we must take into account. And then when he was staying with me last week, we did two more. And I was horrified at what I learned. You know, the medical profession are being used to destroy humanity. I had no idea how destructive the prescriptions you get from your doctor for antibiotics and all these medications.
Yes.
They are destroying our bodies. I didn't realize antibiotics were very dangerous for us. He explains all this in one of the interviews I did with him. And he's coming back next month to work with me. And we will bring out as much information as we can. Because let's face it, we haven't got time to waste. It is just a matter of 2 weeks. the 23rd of September is a big, big date in the Jewish calendar. And this is why they have chosen that date to bring the banks down.
So who's chosen the date, and are the banks being brought down from the inside or from the outside, do you say?
Oh, the inside. They planned it.
So yeah, so it's a deliberate collapse so that people are left bereft.
That's right.
So our strategy is to say this is coming and prepare, and this is what Simon Parks has been saying. And in fact, I don't know if you're aware, Veronica, but 16 years ago, there was a couple who moved from England to Scotland, and they were all over the British press. And they were on the Richard and Judy show, and they were talking about the Y2K system and how it's going to fail and how you better prepare. And of course, you know, at that time, nothing happened because people did prepare. Anyway, that couple was myself and my wife.
Okay.
So, you know, we kind of, I was for a while the kind of go-to guy for like disasters. The BBC rang me up, you know, as late as 2005, 2006 or something, you know. I'm probably in a folder somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
The guy that they wheel out when they talk about disasters who will say, I told you so, you know. But anyway, so it's the thing we have is that we have to be prepared. And so how does, for instance, how does Monty talk about it? And what's the essence of both Monty and Harold's messages? If you could kind of distill them in the way that you can.
Well, what we know today has to be brought down because it is total evil. It has to be brought down, and we have to start again from scratch without the Vatican, without the controlling system, the black magic. I mean, when I was young, black magic was a box of chocolates.
It's right.
Magic chocolates were beautiful. So that, you know, I didn't take too seriously when people talked about black magic. But you go back to Elizabeth I and John Dee, and they took black magic very seriously. And where do you think the British Empire came from? They started using black magic and realizing the power of it. And black magic is used today. There are boxes, black boxes, which contain black goo. And this is black goo that comes from another planet. And it's total evil. Now, people pray to Mecca. And a lot is, I didn't realize Mecca was a black box.
Yeah, it took a while, before, you know, because, you know, for years I was there, was Islam and there was this thing. And then I discovered this thing that they called the Kaaba, which I thought, hang on, that sounds familiar. Kaaba, cube. Oh, right. It's a big black cube. And the thing I've been looking at, the thing that has been making its appearance in my actual brain, I would wake up with it sometimes.
Yeah.
Is this star tetrahedron that is spinning on its point.
Yep.
And that's what they call the Merkaba.
Yeah.
Would you comment on those?
Yeah. Can I go back to the black box?
The black box, the cube, cube. Yes. Yeah. It's all connected. Yeah.
There is one in the city of London. There is one in Rome. There is one in Germany. There is one in America. It's not Mecca isn't a one-off.
So is this a grid?
They're sucking in the energy, our energy, and they're using it against us. Also, fracking is something very important that I must speak about. Now, Monty has been talking about the ley lines for the past couple of years, and I went up the Tor with two of my people to start the ley line project. And our energy, you know, the energy for humanity to exist comes from the ley lines. Now, Harold explained that what runs in the ley lines is good black goo. And we need that. Now, the majority of the energy of our world is contained within Tara in Ireland. CERN has connected to Tara. Area 51 has connected to Tara. Both trying to extract that energy. Now, he explained, Harold explained, that the reason for fracking is to destroy the ley lines.
Oh, yes.
This is so very, very important. It's not just to destroy our water supply. It is to destroy our energy supply. Jesus, do you realize how important that is? And all the governments have given permission. David Cameron, oh, you can do the lot, do what you like. Yeah. They do not need that energy. And it's about time people understood that not everyone who looks like us is like us. They are not. They just appear to be like us. They don't need that energy. We do. And they are destroyed. And it's their way of getting rid of getting rid of humanity. They don't want us. And what are we doing?
What do we do?
We prevent. We first of all make people understand fracking must stop. They are destroying us. They're killing us. They're murdering us by doing this. You know, stop reading the newspapers. Stop believing anything you hear from a politician. They're totally mind controlled. They are not here for humanity. It doesn't matter what country you look at. They're all got at. Every one of them. It is up to the people to say no. And you see the pyramid. And if we weren't supporting them, they couldn't do anything. They are useless without our support because physically they don't do anything. We have the power to stop it. By just taking away our support for what they're doing. Look at the chemtrails. They're poisoning the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink. What are we doing about it? They're killing us. Are we just sitting back and allowing it? Dear God, wake up. We need to wake up and see what's actually happening and stop looking at sport. Yes, enjoy it occasionally. Yes, fine. But don't make it the be-all and the end-all of your life or television. That is mind-controlling you. You know when Monty told me that we were being mind-controlled through the television? And I said, come on, you know, show me. So I sat down, put the television on, and every few minutes the whole screen would change. And you would get a red background with white writing, and it would come to you and go. And it was momentary. But that was going into your subconscious. So
subliminals, what did you see?
The white writing was so quick. that I couldn't consciously take in what was written.
Like magic.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're conscious.
By sitting there, yeah, you're passively consenting.
Yes, yes.
That's. I think this is really the essence of what you're saying, is we must no longer passively consent.
That's right. That's right. Do you know what? When I go out and I hear people talking, oh, did you see this last night? Did you see that last night? As if the whole world revolved around what was on television. And I think, for God's sake, you're being murdered, you're being killed, your world is being destroyed and you just don't see it. It's very hard to wake people up. But you know, once you do, they can never close their eyes again. Once they see what's happening, that's it. It's got to happen, and we haven't got time. I was shocked when Monty showed me how television was used. I mean, I don't see it anymore. I don't need to see it anymore because I know that's it.
Yeah, he raised your perception.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I couldn't believe it when he was trying to make me understand that we were being controlled through the television. And me being me said, okay, show me. But now I know. And little children are encouraged to watch television. And the vaccinations we give them. Do you know that every hypodermic needle now has a chip in it, in the tip of it, so it doesn't matter whether you're having an injection for vitamins, minerals, or whatever, you're being chipped. We're only beginning to scratch the surface of what's being done for us.
Everyone we trusted, Veronica, everyone we trusted. Everybody trusted their bank manager to tell them the truth and to do right by them. Everybody trusted their doctor to heal them.
Totally, yes.
Everybody trusted the police to do the right thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm getting a bit emotional about that, actually.
Oh, believe me, I get emotional too. Another thing, this is so important. Get a good quality bicarbonate of soda. Take a little every day. And you will never, ever get cancer. Now, a friend of mine, Russian John, had 5 tumors, real serious ones. And they planned 6 months chemotherapy for him in hospital. And I said to him, for God's sake, don't go down that route. He took MMS, he used bicarbonate of soda, and he used Ormus. In 3 weeks, there was no sign of cancer. None whatsoever. He went back to the hospital. They did all the x-rays again and checked it all out. And they said they couldn't find any cancer. They couldn't understand it, so they called him back for a meeting. He took everything with him and put it on the desk. And all the doctors were sitting there because they all wanted to know what he'd done. And he said, it's as simple as that. If you do not want to get cancer, a little bicarbonate of soda every day, I take it in hot water and lemon juice. If you get live cancer cells, and you put them in a Petri dish, and you put some bicarbonate of soda on it, they die instantly.
They don't like it, have them.
Well, you know, Monty was involved in the Skoll experiments. He wrote about Skoll.
Skoll, no, remind me.
Well, it's a little village, and there were 4 mediums doing amazing work, and Monty was the chief investigator, and he wrote about it. And we were supposed to take those people out to dinner one night, and I used to go upstairs and lay out Monty's clothes, get ready myself, and then at the last minute, Monty would tear himself away from the computer, up step into the clothes and we'd go. And this particular night, I heard a noise downstairs and I came down into the study and Monty'd had a stroke. He couldn't stand, he couldn't see, and he had problems speaking. I rang Robert. Now, Robert has been my best friend for about 30 years. And he's one of those amazing doctors who changed over from regular medicine to alternative medicine. And I rang Robert and I said, Monty's having a stroke. What do I do? He told me to give him all this. And he said, I promise you, Veronica, he will be all right. I gave them. I had all these things in the kitchen. And Monty took them and he was perfect within hours. So that was the first time I saw it work. And then I have had several strokes. Now, when you have a stroke, you're not always compass mentis. And so it is really interesting how any time I've had a stroke, either my daughter will call me or a very dear friend, and they will tell me to go to my bag to get the magic formula, and they will stay on the phone while I take every one of them, and then they will come to the house because I live alone. And so I've seen it work so often because the dark side have really tried to get rid of me in every possible way.
Yes, they seem to, that they find our weak points and,
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, bless your heart. and your jugular veins and arteries. Because that's what it is. It's a blockage in the, supply of blood to the brain in the way that a heart attack is a blockage in the blood supply to the heart.
That's right.
Yeah.
Would you believe it? I have heart failure and I have lung failure, among other things. And you know, this is interesting. Monty told me in a seance, they, meaning the dark side, are trying to cut your oxygen supply. And I said, don't be ridiculous, Monty, they can't do that. And after a little while, my lungs were giving me a lot of problems. And I have emphysema. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. I've never even drunk a glass of wine in my life. They closed most of one lung, only the top works, and the other lung, just the a third of it works. So I struggle to do what I do. But it was the dark side. They were closing my oxygen supply.
Did you?
Because I have massive work to do in the next weeks.
Yes.
Really physical work to do with people waking up. And it is very tough for me at the moment because walking, I can walk less and less every day. And it's scary because I haven't got the oxygen. I can't breathe. I'm so breathless. So sitting at the computer, I'm all right. I can talk. I can do. But physical stuff, I have great difficulty. And I have very, very important work to do in the next few weeks for humanity. It's what I came to do. And isn't it interesting? Harold was part of that 2,000 years ago, and that's why he was brought back into my life.
So this is a past life. Now, I'm not aware of your past life connection with Harold.
I wasn't aware of it until a few weeks ago.
But I think, you know, there's a certain group of people around who I'm thinking, oh, I'm sure I knew them. I'm sure they knew me and all this stuff.
Well, it's interesting. I don't go to conferences anymore because I don't have the energy. And Monty kept on and on and on. Then a friend of mine said, I'm going. I'll take you there. I'll look after you. I'll bring you back. And I thought, okay. Within an hour of going to the conference, I saw Harold walk in and I watched and I saw him go out for a cup of coffee and I followed him and I introduced myself. And we were sitting there talking, and he was looking at me, and I was looking at him. And he said, "We know each other, don't we?" And I said, "Yeah, we do. But I've no idea how." And, you know, I mean, it was crazy. And we talked for about four and a half hours then. We missed a lot of the lectures because it was so interesting to talk. Then I had a reading from an amazing Dutch lady, Miriam, who's a friend of Miles Johnston. And she immediately picked up on the connection with Harold. And I thought, oh my God. So I suggested to Harold that he should have a reading. So he had a reading on the Monday, and I have a recording of that as well. And she picked up with him, his connection with me. He's come back to help me do something. And it really is quite amazing. There's one other person involved in it as well. And he was brought into my life in a strange way. And I was told when I was going to Ireland to give some talks 3 years ago that I would meet the person who would complete my work after I died. And I spent 5 days in Dublin, met lots of people, great, wonderful, didn't meet the person. And getting on to the flight at Dublin Airport, I had a problem with the Ryanair. And
Ryanair, something's not right. How come the sandwich is more expensive than the flight?
The strange thing is, Ryanair was used by spirit to have a row with me so that they would draw the attention of a young man who was on that flight. And when we got onto the flight, I was really upset. And this young man called the air hostess, and he said he was appalled at the way I'd been treated, and that if I wanted to take it further, he would stand with me. He would give me his details. And he came and sat with me. And 10 minutes into speaking with him, I thought, oh my God, this is the one I've come to Ireland to meet.
On your way out. How funny.
It was in Ireland, and we met. And I thought, oh my God, how am I going to handle this? And,
That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful, Veronica, because from looking at that, the way he approached you was as a defender.
Yes.
Straight away. He recognized that that's where he was.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And often he would sit here having dinner with me, and he would say, "I am your protector." And I say, "Yes, dear, you are." But, unfortunately, Mossad got to him before he came into my world. And what they are doing to him is not good. So, yeah, they know that by holding on to him, they are holding on to their power. So, believe me, my work isn't just writing with Monty, I can tell you. There's a lot more to it than that. You see, the thing is, I know spirits are wonderful. They show you the end result all the time. And you've just got to get to it. So you know you'll succeed. It's just the road to get to it is, oh my God, very, very hard. Spirit apologized so much for causing me the problems with Ryanair, but they had to bring that young man to my attention, and that was the only way they could do it, because there is no way our paths would have crossed, no way at all. And so I've got used to the way spirit work, and it's fascinating. I had no excuse. I had no money. I couldn't go to this conference. Miles Johnston is one interesting man. Very interesting. and I couldn't afford to go. Would you believe a check came through 3 days before the conference for £292? It was nothing to do with Monty, and it's paid to me once a year. And I thought, you know, and Monty was saying to me, right, you've got the money, you've no excuse now.
That's brilliant.
So he provided somebody to take me there, plus the money to pay. I had to go. So that's how they work.
What I've found is, you know, they don't do things in advance. They don't say, okay, well, in about 4 weeks, we've just prepared this thing for you. They never do that.
Nope.
You know, it just happens like the moment before you get it. Oh, here you are. Okay, thanks. Now, what do I do with this? Oh, it's for this. And it's just like, I mean, in my particular instance, I have been, ever since I was a kid,
yeah,
I would pick things up and I'd put them in my pocket. And then later that day, I would need that thing.
Yes.
So I'm getting used to that a bit now. I am 54 and I still have this thing. I don't go out much, but I still pick things up and I buy things. And then I buy websites. You know, I think of a web domain name, and then some weeks later somebody says, oh, look, I have this need for a website. Oh, yeah, well, I've got one just named perfectly. And it just seems to come up like that.
Yes.
It's just using the intuition is using me. And so when people say, do you believe in angels? I say, I don't believe in angels. I rely on them.
Exactly. Now, my webmaster, I had paid people in the beginning when I had money. And they didn't understand what I was doing, and they weren't doing, they couldn't. It was just a nightmare. And I was quite desperate. And suddenly Chris came into my life. And he said, I'll do it for you. And I said, are you serious? And he said, yes. And you see, he knows and understands what I'm doing. And that's fantastic. I mean, what are the chances to get a webmaster who understands what you're doing?
Difficult, isn't it?
Isn't it amazing how it works?
Mm.
Because this man lives in Southampton. There's no way I would have met him. And it really is fascinating. If spirit wants something to happen, my God, they make it happen. When I needed help, those people, what they did to me in Ireland, and they dropped me at the airport in Dublin, and I collapsed, and I was in a bad way. I've never experienced such pain in my life. I couldn't stand and I couldn't sit. My body was racked with pain. And I was alone. And an Irish doctor came from nowhere, who was going to travel on that flight. And the flight was delayed by an hour. And so he was able to look after me. And the first thing he said to me, you got blood clots? And of course I lied. I said, no. Because there's no way. I daren't go into hospital. I daren't. And he had to give a guarantee to the airline that he would look after me on the flight. And he did, and he put me in a taxi this end. And the taxi said, I'm dropping you off at the nearest hospital if you get any worse. And I said, oh my God. So he got the taxi driver actually looked after me, stopped the cab at my house, took the keys from my hand, opened my front door, put me into the living room, put the lights on, sat me on the settee, and said, I'm not happy leaving you. And I said, I'm home. I'll be all right. And it took me a while to recover. What these awful people did to me was make my blood run like water so that I would have a massive stroke in Ireland and would die there. But, you know, spirit had other ideas. So It was a tough learning curve, my dear. Yeah, very tough. It took me a while to recover.
Wow. And that's your back then.
And that same weekend, they got to Andrew Bartzes. Isn't that interesting?
They must have been on a spree. Yeah, had a list. Oh my God, Veronica, I'm sorry. So.
But you know what?
Yeah.
When people ring me and they haven't spoken, you know, they say, how are you? And I say, I'm still here.
Yep.
It's great. I'm still here. And that's the way you've got to look at it.
Very much like focused presence in a point.
Yes.
That is exuding this physical body.
Yes.
To
do, and I will do. And they will not stop me.
Mm-hmm.
They will not stop me. And they've tried. I have problems that other people wouldn't even dream of. Yeah. But, you know, the light will survive. And the light is getting brighter every day as people wake up. And that's why the dark side are trying to rush things through now. Because they're desperate. Too many people are waking up. They don't like it. And when they get desperate, they're dangerous and they're careless. But we've got to be prepared. Plenty of water, dried food, till we organize ourselves. Are you? Yeah.
Interesting. You know, because I was really sick this last week,
mm-hmm.
I had, I don't know whether I was attacked like everybody else.
I was as well, yeah.
But I had what appeared to be like a food poisoning incident.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me the migraine for 2 days. And
yeah.
It was agonizing and horrible. Mm-hmm. But in this week, so all I've eaten is basically boiled rice.
Uh-huh.
And I'm none the worse for it. In fact, I've lost weight.
Great.
People keep saying, you look really good. You know, I people say I look younger as these days go by. And I'm actually, I'm eating as little sugar. Nobody can really kill sugar completely.
I know.
But I've starved the nung. This is the name I have for the candida creature that lives inside us all, the nung, and it makes us want to nung food. But the creature doesn't like it when you don't eat sugar, and it, so it gets unhappy, and that's why I feel unhappy. It shuts up after a while.
I know, I'm still addicted to sugar, I'm afraid.
Well, I believe that that yeast was given to us by a non-benevolent so-called god who was called Marduk.
Yeah.
He created beer and bread, which has kept people placated.
Yeah.
And mind controlled. I believe it's an ancient nano mind controlled technology.
Yeah. I know.
And it just eats yeast.
Yeah. I've put on a lot of weight and it's not what I'm eating, and that's scary. It's not what I'm eating at all. I don't understand.
Yeah, well, have a try of borax. Let me, what I say, just take a dab of borax and see if your body says, or not. Just moisten your finger just a tiny bit and then drink a cup of tea or something to take the taste away.
Yeah.
But it's good for you. It's like, yeah, bad medicine. But, It's something that I've been working with, and it's doing some good. And I really am losing weight, and I have been pretty fat over these years.
Well, I never have, you see. This is my what I don't understand. I was skinny all my life, and suddenly it's just going up and up and up and up, and it doesn't make sense.
All right. Well, maybe some frequencies might work for you.
Oh, yes, please.
let me put you in touch with some people who can give you some things that will do frequencies for you.
Yeah.
That would be really good.
You need to be very active in the next few weeks.
Yes.
I have serious work to do.
Mm-hmm. So without revealing plans that would endanger, would you like to talk sort of generally about what you're working towards? Let's not talk about the mechanism. Let's talk about the original. You said the angels give you the message. The angels give you the vision of the final thing.
Yeah.
Talk about that, because that will hold the vibration and reinforce your vibration by speaking it out. Thank you.
Monty has shown me over and over and over again that what I will do will remove all the dark energy from our world. And it will happen almost, not quite instantly, but almost. It will rise up and it will spread throughout the world, and every country in the world will benefit. And all the dark energy will just be destroyed immediately. That's why I'm attacked so much. I was attacked this week as well, very badly. But they know who I am. They know why I'm here. And that's why they prevent everything I try to do. It's something that Monty was and I were involved in. About 2,000 years ago. Monty and I have worked together in many lifetimes. And you know, one of the things he said to me when we first met, and I didn't understand what he meant, what took you so long to find me? I thought, what do you mean? But it seems I was supposed to find him in this life. And we have the three of us, this other person who's being held as well, the three of us have worked together in so many lifetimes. We have come in to put things right over and over and over again. And Monty had to go to the other side so that we could commence the work. Him from that side and me from this side. And you know, I said, why did you wait until I was this age to do it? You know, why didn't it happen when I was young and I had the energy to do all this? And he laughs. He thinks, you know, age is just, it's just figures, isn't it? You will do it. So no, there are things, physical things that have to be done. And they will be done. I have no doubt whatsoever about that. Because the spirit world is a lot more powerful. And they are gradually, gradually waking people up. And that's wonderful. Because we need people to understand that they are not helpless. That the pyramid would not exist without their help. The power structure, the evil power structure, is there only because we support it. The moment every army, navy, air force realize that what is on their uniform states that they are blood sacrifice, and that's what they're used for, and they step away from it and say, no, I've had enough. No more killing. It's got to stop. But we need those people to wake up. Wars, they don't, you see, the dark side don't care where the wars are. As long as there's killing and fear, that's what they exist on. And you hear, especially in England, he died for his country. No, he did not.
Oh, God, yeah.
That makes me, oh, I think, do you have any intelligence at all? He did not die for his country. Of course he didn't. His country was never in danger. But they have to have war. I mean, look at Obama. He got the Peace Prize, didn't he?
Yeah, that's before he started all the wars.
There's been constant war. Oh, dear. The lies you hear coming out of the mouths of the politicians, they're just puppets. There isn't one government in this world that is not controlled. And it doesn't, you know, I'm not going to vote ever again. I am not giving away my power to somebody else. No way. And if everybody did that, you'd soon bring them down.
And indeed, pay taxes?
Do you know there is no law anywhere in the world that states you've got to pay tax?
Yeah.
John Harris came to see me some years ago. And he went into court here in London, and he had the money in his hand, and he said, he refused to go into the dock. And he stood there in court, and he said, look, there's the money. I will give it to you if you show me the law that states I have to pay tax. They couldn't. So he never paid tax again. Lots of people have done it. People have done it in America. They thought, my God, we'll try it. They've never paid tax again. You're told you have to pay it. But they cannot produce a law that states you must. It's all a con. We've been conned right, left and centre.
So, let's use this moment to take a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes after this. Welcome back to Ever Beyond with Veronica Keane, and back to our recording. All of these official uses of our name, it's like your mother, like my mum would have said,
Jeremy Simon Perrin.
You know, it's like, when you're addressed by all those words, it's yep. like, yes, okay, I obey, you know. And that is exactly what Monty means by us all being mind controlled.
I know. I mean, good heavens. I was very good friends with one or two peers, so I spent a lot of time, before I met Monty, in the House of Lords and the House of Commons. I had questions asked in both Houses of Parliament. So I know how it all runs and what can be done in there, because I was part of it at one time. But I did things in there that other people hadn't. I gave an afternoon tea in the House of Lords, and I invited ministers across and other MPs. And I brought a lady in who suffered from MS. And the only thing that could help her walk was cannabis. Now, I opened up the debate on cannabis for people who needed it for medical reasons. And, you know, you can use... I used these places for things like that, for the good. Opening up information on, yeah, cannabis is good for certain things. That's why they don't want you to have it.
Because it's not a poison. The main thing about it is it's not a poison. It doesn't kill things. It's a food.
That's right. That's right. But you see, we're brainwashed. Oh, my God.
Yeah, mind control.
Totally. Totally. And it is horrific. And it doesn't matter whether Labour's in power, Conservatives, or anybody else. None of them are in control. They're all yes men, and they all have to obey, and they do as they are told. They have no power whatsoever.
So, does it go back? I mean, really is... Okay, so from what I understand, there's the Black Pope, the Grey Pope, and the White Pope. And the White Pope is a Jesuit, but he's not necessarily the Black Pope. And then there's this Grey Pope, who's like really the guy who's calling the shots. And, you know, where does it go from there? I mean, does it go, is that the top of the power structure? Who are these beings? Well, because we know it's dark. We know it's dark. Who are they?
They are from other planets. They're not from our. There is the black goo. Do you know the Falklands War was fought because of black goo?
Yes, I spoke to Simon Parks last week, and he told me that very, very emphatically. So, yeah. do you want to expand on that? Fantastic.
But you see, the thing is, we're told one thing. We're never, ever told the truth. The black goo is powerful. And it is, as I said, the City of London. What's that telling you? Controls the money. Money is power to them. It's in Rome. America's finished. You know that. America as we know it sadly is finished. And my granddaughter is at university in Los Angeles. And I wish she was not. But America has been deliberately destroyed. And the dark side have plans for it. Yeah. It is sad what's being done there. And the American people, oh my God, they are not awake. Not enough of them awake at all. They're so controlled by television. You think we're bad here in England. Oh my God, they're worse. They're more controlled, much more controlled. And they still believe in Obama. They can't seem to see what he's actually doing. They still think he's their savior. And oh my God.
People don't seem to see beyond their team.
I know.
Oh, you know, he's got the right color flag.
What? Yeah. He's killing you. He's raping and sodomizing all your children. You know, it's terrible what is going on. He's, do you know what it feels like to me, Veronica? And this is something that, you know, I had a past life in Berlin in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels to me that that's what's going on in America. And even to the point of, and it's not very well known, but there was a whole gay thing going on in Berlin.
Yep.
And there was a femme gays and butch gays. So mm-hmm. the feminine types and the masculine types. And the masculine types all went in the Nazi party. And eventually, on Kristallnacht, they killed all the femmes. That was their way. And, you know, how, you know, what a total, you know, total denial, you know, an object lesson in total denial going on there. I can see that going on in America right now.
Yes. And, you know, I used to spend a lot of time in America with Monty at conferences. And I found they just weren't awake at all. And they seemed to think that they were awake, but they weren't. They were totally, totally controlled. It scared me a bit. I would not live in America for anything. I could have done, but I chose not to. America, the people are just sleepwalking to their own destruction. And there are those who are ready to take over America, as you well know. And they will do as well if the Americans don't wake up. But there again, you see, what is an American? He's either English-American, German-American, Dutch-American. You know, what is an American?
What about the Spanish?
Yeah, and they're doing this to Europe now. They are diluting. The plan was to destroy Europe. And they started by forcing a mixture of people to come into Europe. They want to wipe out the European because the European is intelligent. And they don't want that. They can't control them so easily. That's what the whole idea of bringing Europe, the European Union, for start with. Because it's easier to destroy if it's one unit. And now, they've deliberately gone into all these countries, and these people are fleeing from what's being done in their country, and they're coming to Europe. All this is planned. This is all part of the destruction of Europe. The destruction of the white man. And people just don't see it. But if you know for a while what's going on, and you see it develop day after day after day, and you think, oh my God, this is it in action. Yeah. They don't want anyone ever again to be able to stand up and say, I am English 100% through and through. Well, or I am Spanish, 100% fluent. They're wiping out our identity, and people don't see it.
I'm a mixed race myself, so I can't really talk on the whole pure blood thing. But in terms of the destruction of the idea of people who live in communities,
yeah,
you know, like it's if you well look, here's the thing: if you feel you want, everybody wants to feel safe, and the best way to feel safe is to, you know, to surround yourself with people you feel comfortable with.
Yes.
That feel safe with, you know.
Yeah.
That don't feel like you're going to be predated on. They're not going to steal from you. They're not going to, you know, steal your people or your things. And, you know, they will share equally, and everybody's fair with each other. You know, we have to, and we assume that. And that's how communities live and survive and thrive. And you know.
Yeah.
And so when we've got a country, that's a slightly different thing, because we've got the flavor is imposed in some way by the flavor of what we call the government or the ruling entity at the time.
Yeah.
So but it's more than that. It's the well, you know, you think of England and British, in you think of the little bulldog.
Yes.
You know, and a bulldog is something that stands up to bulls, i.e. bullies. It's a little thing. It's a wee thing, a bulldog. But it will stand up to a bull, and it's not frightened of bulls.
Yes, yes.
And that's the English character.
Yes, yes. It's interesting if you watch. I mean, the Bolsheviks in Russia, what they did there. It's like the human race is being altered and in places destroyed. And we're not seeing the bigger picture, and this is the problem. We see every problem as an individual problem. But we have to look at the bigger picture. Why is it being done? What is the reasoning behind it? And we're not doing that. We're not doing that. I mean, you go back to Tony Blair, weapons of mass destruction. And he knew damn well they never existed.
They were memes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little catchphrases that are... And we can see now.
Yes.
All through this whole, well, since G.W. Bush really got in place, I think things have started to go a bit downhill. It's really the Nazis have taken over from then, you know.
Yep. I know. But we cannot allow ourselves to fall for that again. We have to wake up. We have no choice. Our very survival depends on it. You know, politicians will never tell us the truth. Never. They'd be out on their heads if they for one moment told us the truth, who they serve. They can't. And they are not there for our benefit. That is something we have to understand. We are responsible for our own existence. It's up to us to make decisions. Do not leave them to other people. We can't. We've done that in the past, and look where it's got us. War after war after war. Now, you see, I go back to destroying Europe. You had the Holocaust in Ireland, organized by the Jesuits and overseen by the Jesuits. We were told it was a famine. It was not. It was a Holocaust. And the destruction of the Irish people. Are you aware that in 1152, Pope Adrian gave Ireland and its people as slaves to the British Crown on condition that the Irish never find out who they are.
Didn't know that. Say that once again.
Pope Adrian gave Ireland and her people as slaves to the British Crown on condition that the Irish never find out who they are.
And that information just happens to be in the Vatican Library, doesn't it?
Of course. As ever.
But the thing is that the Vatican Library may be closed to, you know, people on feet.
Yeah.
But not in spirit. So, okay. Presumably Monty's had a quick peek.
Oh, yes.
And so what are they hiding from the Irish? Let's just lay it out here while we're on, you know.
The Irish are the genuine Israelites. Think about that one. It was the Irish who wandered in the desert. Yes. I was made to relive that many times. To go back to when Ireland, that is why a member of the British royal family have to go to Ireland once every 100 years to retake Ireland. And that's why the Queen, she didn't have a choice. She had to go to Ireland. And she asked to be taken to Cashel. Now, nobody goes to Cashel anymore, but it used to be the seat of kings. And she has to tap her foot 3 times and retake Ireland. Edward.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes.
Holy Lord. Somebody, I don't know, bind her feet. I mean, what can we do? send her by Ryanair.
Well, you know, one or two of us got there before her this time. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I tell you, the lies we've been told. Oh, my God, the lies we've been told.
As you spoke. I was also getting the idea of the Glastonbury Thorn is also something to do with this.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, I had the opportunity to drive down to the south of England, and I visited my friends in Glastonbury, and she was busy at the time, so I thought, oh, I'll go up and, you know, go up to Wirral Hill.
Yeah.
And, you know, just sit. It was a lovely summer's evening, and, you know, just like, just watch the lights, because I, you know, don't go to cities much, and Glastonbury is as good a city as I can get. Yeah. Anyway, so I sat on Wirral Hill, and I sat next to the tree, which, as you know, has been apparently vandalized.
Yes.
And, not that I knew that I could talk to trees, but I just said hi, and, and the tree said, oh, hello. And it was like, well, I'm sorry about that. And the message that I got from it was like, that's all right. I was a stick. it's like, I was a stick once. I've survived worse.
Yeah.
And it was all good. And the picture that I got was of the Queen not being able to take a piece of the thorn, which I think is also one of these magical rituals that holds her to England. Am I correct?
I don't know that.
Anyway, so that was my little experience of something similar.
Yes.
That every Christmas she gets a sprig of this tree or a flower off this tree. Okay. And there's no flowers this year. Or has been for several years.
Yeah. But you know, the one big thing Monty has drummed into me since he died. Nothing is as it seems. If you remember that, always remember, nothing is as it seems. It is the exact opposite. Do you know that Ireland is, in fact, the Holy Land? And 2,000 years ago, it wasn't the Vatican then, but the Catholic Church, started changing place names in the East to fit in with the story they were going to tell. So the evidence is there for that. Nothing happened in the East. It began in the West. We have been lied to about everything, our history, our origins, everything. We have been lied to.
So when they left Atlantis, they obviously landed at the nearest place to find, which would be, in fact, the west coast of Ireland.
Yep.
That's and that's where they escaped to. Duh. Yeah. So, and then why have traces of this been covered up?
They don't.
And who by?
The church. The powers that be. The church. The Vatican. But you see, you've got to look at the Vatican. You look at the people who are Knights of Malta, the highest honor the church can give. The Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, Henry Kissinger, all these people. Does that make sense? Scratch the surface of anything and you will be amazed at what you find. They're all one. We're told, oh, they're different. Oh, they're our enemies. No, they're all working together. That's where they get their power from. And few people realize that. Oh, the Queen is a Knight of Malta as well. Yep. She's very happy to pose in her Knight of Malta gown. We've been lied to about everything, everything, everything. Yeah. Jesus, the one that the Catholic Church talks about, Jesus, Mary and Joseph never existed. It's a story. There was a Jesus, there was a Christ. He came to earth, he was not born of man. And he left the earth. He ascended. He left. There was no cross. That is all. There is only one word for what we've been told. That's bullshit. We've been lied to about everything. And we have to wake up to that.
And that's the essence of the Matrix, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Matrix is the web of lies that we've been trapped in.
Yes.
That prevents us from realizing who we really are.
Exactly.
And when we're told what we are, there's a cognitive dissonance and we're told, oh, you know, you mustn't have that sort of feeling. That's, opposition defiant, you know.
Yeah.
No, you're just wrong and you're trying to control me. Excuse me.
Michael Tesarian has done amazing research on this.
We love Michael. I want to have like a couple of weeks with him talking to our station. We love him.
I would so love. It seems Michael and I knew each other 2,000 years ago.
He's another one. I mean, he's told me without speaking to him, he's told me some stories. You know.
Yeah. And you see, Monty said, his work, it isn't all research. He is remembering, but he doesn't realize he's remembering. He was there. And it seems he and I had a disagreement, and somewhere lodged in his psyche is the memory of that disagreement.
old times, eh? Maybe I should bring you together on a summit or something.
And this was told to me at a seance. Because I record everything. I record absolutely everything. Because you can't depend on memory to remember. But Michael will work with me. But he's not ready yet. But the Irish origins of civilization is 100% correct.
Oh, bang on. Destruction of Atlantis. Whoa.
Yeah. And it's just, oh my God. And you see, the Catholic Church took over Ireland. It ran the schools, the government, it ran everything. And so what was drummed into you from birth, you are nothing, you are nobody, you are a sinner, you're born in sin. My God. And they still do that to children. That's evil. Absolute evil. They are. Do you know what? In my lifetime, I will see every last vestige of the Catholic Church removed from Ireland. I will take the churches and the priest's house and make flats for the poor. I want everything given back to the people. Now you go, I never had any desire to go to Rome, ever. But Monty and I went to Rome for the opera. We went to see Aida performed at the Colosseum. I mean, it was out of this world, wonderful. And Monty said, look, come on, we can't be in Rome and not go to the Vatican. And I said, oh, all right. And we walked in. And the dark feeling I got. And I just stood there and I said, this is obscene. I just couldn't handle it. I said, Monty, get me out of here. I can't cope with it. Get me out. And he said, and I'm the Jew. I said, and Monty, this is obscene. People are starving, homeless, and look at the wealth here. No. So no, I had very bad reaction to the Vatican, I'm afraid. I was picking up all the evil within it. And I wasn't fully aware of what was going on then. But when I hear people refer to the Pope as the Holy Father, and I think, oh my God, wake up. Why can't they see what I see? Monty just rang his bell. Did you hear?
Yeah, I know. I think you got this is because you got the magic eyeballs. You can see these things. Not everybody can, and that's the thing, because they have layers that are still on their eyes.
Yeah.
Because they're still covered by lies, you know.
We have been lied to about everything. Absolutely everything. And as soon as you scratch the surface and you begin to see, then you want to delve into it more and more and more and more. And it becomes exciting because you're uncovering all the evil that has controlled us. And we have to do that. We have to face facts. No more fairy tales. No more bullshit. Fact is, we are controlled, mind-controlled beings of light. And we have to take back our control and become who we really are. Nobody is powerless. You just gave your power to everybody else through elections. How clever was that? You give your power to somebody else to speak for you. No, thank you. I can speak for myself. Thank you very much. We've given away everything. And it's time to take it back. And wake up to what's been done to us, to humanity. This world, there is more than enough for everyone. Don't listen to the lies. Henry Kissinger talking about useless eaters. That's how they see us. And I mean, look at both Henry Kissinger and Bill Gates. They're on YouTube talking on film about culling the population through vaccination. They're proud of it.
Exactly. I mean, anybody who uses population control and vaccine in the same sentence.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. All that.
And people still stupidly take their innocent little children and have them vaccinated. Oh, my God.
And people still download Windows 10, which is spying on them from every pore of their beingness, is taking their fingerprints. It's downloading their DNA if it was humanly possible.
I know.
Because if you find somebody's DNA, you can send beams to them.
Oh, I tell you something now, my dear.
Go ahead.
I have seen my attacks come. It comes through the window behind me. I'm in the study. And in my bedroom, it comes through one of the windows. And one night, lying in bed, I saw what seemed like a sphere. Because the force of it, and it went straight into my throat, and it lifted me off the bed. And I fell back onto the bed. And Monty said, they're trying to shut you up. Okay. Now, I was told about this scientist in Dublin, Tony Hughes. He's amazing. And I was told, if you sent him a piece of hair from the back of your head, now it's not hair analysis. I cannot remember the name of what he does. And I sent it to him, and I didn't give him any information about me, my age, anything. I just said, I really don't want to tell you anything about me. My name is Veronica. Please trust me and give me a report on this as soon as possible, and then I will disclose everything. 2 weeks later, I had a phone call. You're Veronica? I said, yes. And he said, Tony Hughes here. I have the report. He said, have you just returned from a war zone? And I said, no. And he said, but you've recently been in a war zone. And I said, I'm in my 70s. No. And he said, but the damage to your brainstem. I said, are you talking microwave, scalar damage? He said, yes. So I have evidence of what they do to me.
So is there any, I mean, okay, so we have to ask extra-dimensionals how to deal with scalar weaponry and how to protect against it, because that's, you know, this is really unfair because nobody can see it, smell it, hear it, sense it, measure it, apart from die.
Yeah.
That seems to be the only effect of this thing. So how can we, has he given us anything?
Sometimes I'm conscious of it because I sit at the computer, the window's behind me and I'm facing a wall. But sometimes I'm conscious of it and I have to get up and walk away from the computer. Other times I'm not conscious of it. I'm conscious of the sensation in my neck, up the back of my neck up to my stomach. But in bed, oh my God. And the first time Andrew Bart says ever spoke to me, and I didn't know him, I never heard of him. And it was in an interview, he happened to come in and give me some information. And he said, there's a painting in your bedroom being used to attack you. And I said, I have 3 paintings in my bedroom. And he said, the one you wake up to, it's a cross, it's in front, it's across from you when you wake up in the morning. And I thought, oh my God. And I like that painting. And he said, that's got to go. So I've had to take that down and burn it. And it's very hard to burn something you like. But I had no choice.
Yeah.
So that was being used. It's amazing what they can use.
And it can be quite an innocent gift that was given to you. And it's just like like Snow White.
Yeah, have a lovely little gift. I've given you a lovely crystal.
You know.
Yes.
and then you die. So Scalar,
yeah,
for instance, is a form of weaponry that is using magnetoelectrism, the reverse of electromagnetism, because obviously we're not told the whole truth. You know, there's two sides of the picture. What does Monty say about that?
Well, Monty explained, where do you live? You'll have to come and see me.
I live in Findhorn.
Ah, if ever you're in London, come and see me.
I was born in London, but I live in Findhorn.
What part?
Bethnal Green.
Really?
Very humble.
I live in Totteridge, but you're welcome, because I can play these tapes, these films of seances, where they were explaining harp and what harp is capable of. And it's capable of singling out one person, no matter where they are in the world, and targeting them. It's amazing the information that comes through in sounds. And then, as you know, Monty asked me to research Andromeda. I said, why? And he said, you'll learn. Then he asked me to speak to Andromedans. So the next seance, two Andromedans came through to speak to me. And they gave a lot of information. Now, they have been trying to work with the people on Earth since the 90s. And when Monty was working at Skoll, the Andromedans tried to come through to help us then. That would have been about 1996. And the mediums got scared and wouldn't, because they looked different. And as I pointed out to them in the, you can hear the recording, and I said, but, you know, we're not all the same on Earth. We have black people, brown people, yellow people, white, what we call white people. You know, we're not all the same. Why should we expect you to be the same as us? And he said, but the fear. And I said, no, you come as friends. You come to help us. We will accept your help. And they said, you know, Monty did everything to try to force the... or I should say encourage the mediums to carry on and work with the Andromedans, but they wouldn't. And so they have to wait until now. But now I speak to the Andromedan spaceships and they respond. I see them in the sky every night. And when we were at the BASIS conference in Wiltshire, couple of weeks ago, I took Harold and one, I think there were about 10 of us, went up a hill and the spaceships were there and we were making contact. And it was great fun because I've done it before and one other man had done it before, but the others were very, very excited. And it was good fun. But it opened up that for them. And Harold now says there's one that he sees all the time now. So...
Yes, I think it takes, you know, somebody, if you stand next to somebody who is seeing something,
yes,
you can tune into what where they're at. Like, in the same way that Monty was able to get you to see the sparkles.
Yes, yes, yes. It's, oh my God, there's so much all around us and we're not aware of it yet. And the Andromedans are wonderful. You know, they keep telling me, don't worry. They have technology for us that we can't even dream of. You know, they are giving it to us, everybody. They see us as the prison planet, and they feel very sorry for us because we are very important beings, and we've been in prison. And they see it as they're coming to rescue us and to give us everything to help us to go forward. And I think that's wonderful. So we have nothing to fear from the Andromedans. They're lovely to talk to. I have loads of tapes because they're very factual. The nearest thing they ever came to a sense of humor was they were explaining to us that America planned to do Project Bluebeam. And they said, if America persists in this, then they will come and they will expose what the Americans are doing. But We have to invite them to come to help us. They cannot force themselves on us. We must invite them in to help us come forward. They're our cousins from the, you know, I usually refer to them as our friends from abroad, but we must open our minds to the fact that we have friends who want to help us. And we mustn't worry about anything. They will show us what to do, how to do it, and they will give. So there'd be no question of money. They will give to us everything we need. And that's wonderful. So we have nothing to fear except what the dark side are doing to us. And they're the people we trust.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Our governments do not answer to us. They do not. We have to just take responsibility. And I would, now, I'm 78, and I'm going to see all this before I die. So it's not going to be long, is it?
That, or you're going to live 1,000 years. I hope not. I have a friend. His name is Crawford. He's a beautiful man. He's is over 6 feet tall, Scottish man, and he's 89.
Yeah.
And he cycles into town every day, 4 miles on his bicycle. He goes cycling holidays with his wife, and who's half his age.
Yeah.
So I don't have this stuff about being old anymore. You know, meeting Crawford is like meeting an immortal. We can be immortal too. It's just,
there are certain people you meet and it's as if age never touches them. Mm. I know. I always said, you know, Monty was almost 79 when he died. But as far as I was concerned, he was 79 going on 40. Because he had the energy and the enthusiasm of a young man. And he was a joy to be with. I never knew it was possible to be that happy. It just changed my whole life. We enjoyed being with each other. And that was fun. You can imagine when he died, it was, oh dear God, it was so hard. I didn't want to live. But he got me to work with him, and every time he asked me to do something, I said, I can't do it, and he said, yes you can, and you will. And so, I never set out to do all this. I didn't have a choice. It seems it's what I came on earth to do. And all the attacks. And, you know, Monty's will was changed. His family, because I wasn't a Jew, managed to prevent me from getting anything whatsoever. Not one penny. And the fact that I paid half the house when we bought this house, and my name was on the deeds, otherwise they'd have got me out of here as well. But they have threatened all sorts, and they have destroyed everything. They sold our land without even telling me. That was a nightmare. But I survived it. I'm still here.
You're still here.
And that's the important thing. You do not give up. You have work to do and you do it. And exposing the lies is important to me. Very important. And everything is coming out into the open now, and that's wonderful. And people like you are doing it, and I thank you.
Well, I thank you. And, I'm seeing people who are truly working what I call working the new paradigm.
Yes.
I think this is, you know, this is part of a plan that has been psychically developing over years, telepathically developing.
Yes.
As the plan of the good side, which cannot be revealed because otherwise it will be thwarted. So.
Exactly.
We know what the outcome is, right? So we focus on the outcome and then we get opportunities to just further that outcome a little bit every day, every opportunity we have. And that's how the plan works. And it's quite fascinating that it, you know, and strange coincidences and synchronicities happen all the time. Hey, yeah. Have you noticed, by the way, synchronicities? I used to have like, synchronicity last week. You know, it was like, it's like I have 3 an hour or something like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. Oh, if spirit wants something to happen, they make it happen. You know, actually, when Harold is here again, if you would like to do one with Harold and I would
be very, very pleased. Would be very, very happy to do that. I'd love to meet Harold.
Yeah.
Thing is, Harold looks to me identical to a man I know up here who is who's called Alex. Just to make things complicated. Harold is somebody that is definitely on my list of people to talk to about stuff. And he knows about stuff and of all sorts of levels of stuff.
I know.
Yes.
I know. You know, things that I knew, but I didn't fully understand, he made clear for me. Because let's face it, I am not a scientist. I don't pretend to be anything other than Monty's wife. And I didn't understand things, you know, fully. But Harold was able to point them out and explain. And that was great. That was great. Because the ley lines I knew, our salvation is in the ley lines. When the last time I was in Ireland, for some reason, you know the Leofoil at Tara, I put my forehead on it and I put a hand either side of it and I totally connected with it. And I asked for the good energy to be released. Now, it was like a fast-flowing river. It started off the most beautiful shade of green with gold through it. And it was rushing. And then it went darker pink, red. And it was just, oh my God, it was amazing. And I must have stood there for well over half an hour. I was exhausted after it. But I learned something, that I can do it. And we need to do that. All of us need to do it. Our energy comes from the ley lines. And that's why they have destroyed them. And they're doing it now through fracking. And your taxes are paying the government to do the fracking that will destroy life, humanity's life on Earth. Think about it.
I think even more about it. And I think that anybody who uses petroleum on a regular basis should be thinking that this might be hurting the planet, and how can we find an alternative?
Well, you know, I have plans. I have people ready to produce free energy. I have people who are running their cars on water. All ready. And I keep saying to these people, no, the timing is not right to come out. Once the change has happened, once the dark side lose control, then yes, that is the time to bring forward everything. We know how to grow. Monty started talking to me years ago about aquaponics, hydroponics. I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. I do now. So all this is ready for when the dark side lose control and step away, then humanity can go forward. There will be free energy for all. And food that is nourishing and food for the body and the soul. So all this is ready. But you can't bring it forward now. It's amazing the number of people who are producing free energy.
So to that end, Veronica,
yes,
I have started in the mental plane by creating memes. Yes. I've been generating a meme. Based on... you're aware of Alex Collier, aren't you?
Yes.
Based on the thing that Morinet said to him, which was, I don't understand why you have to pay to live on a planet that you were born on.
Exactly.
Okay, so I formulated
a
response to that, which is, living is free.
Yes.
It's a truth that we can all accept, you know, living is free. If you, you know, so to be alive as a human, you need all these things, like houses and electricity and internet and consciousness and, you know, good food and land and space and all that stuff. That all included in living. So living is free. And then the other meme I thought was fuel is free.
Yes.
So by embodying those memes very simply, you can hold the vibration of a new paradigm very simply. Sorry, I just want to step back a bit. And you talked about the basilica, and when you were in the basilica, you felt the obscenity. What I picked up from when you said that is that it's like a huge funnel, that all the people that stand in that square, their energy is like...
Exactly, exactly.
Is that what you saw? Because that's what I picked up when you saw that. I mean, it was visceral. I feel it in my body, that.
Yeah.
Horrid.
I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And I was holding on.
Not surprised.
Holding on to her, and I said, Jesus, why did we go in there? That is evil. That is. And you know, you see all those people queuing up and giving their love and giving their power and giving their energy to it. And I think, oh, please, please, please wake up. Wake up. He is not the Holy Father. He has blood on his hands. No. Dear God. No, but we're conned, you know. Fine clothes and jewels don't make it the person. It doesn't matter what you put on these people. They're evil to the core. And they are on earth to destroy humanity, and humanity will survive, and they know it. They know they're losing, and that's why they're getting desperate now, and they are so desperate for World War III. And you know, just think about it, my dear. World War I and II were fought in Europe, like I said, destroying Europe. Yeah. And they don't care where the next one is, as long as the killing goes on.
As long as they have their blood for the sacrifice, which started from John Dee making a deal with the macrobes.
That's right.
And so what happened? Did the macrobes arrive here? And then kind of go back in time to alter their history? What happened?
I can't answer that because I don't know.
Because that's the question that's been going on. It's like, how did this happen? And, you know, did they sully our history in some way? And who are they? You know, what are they? Do they exist on our plane? This is, I mean... Because David Icke says, oh, well, they're all reptilians. And, you know, yes, they bring out reptilian aspects of us. But who are the bad guys? Everybody, yeah. Well, what does Montague say?
I think we will have to get Harold on your program when he comes back.
I think that's a good idea.
Yes. Very much so, yes. He can explain this better than I can. Because I don't want to get it wrong.
Yes, and it's best, you don't, let's look, you, let's look, let's not you focus on the dark side. Let's look, focus on the vision.
Yes.
That you are holding. This is, to me, this is the most important thing, is the vision that Monty gave you, that house, the reinstantiation of the ley line energies that flow outwards from Tara.
Yes.
If I get this right, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, yeah. You did do an activation earlier on this year.
Yeah.
And things have started to flow.
Yes.
Yes. So this will probably make timeline changes as well. This might be
certain people with the right DNA who can make it flow. And it's important that they get there to do so. I don't want to say who they are because they would be targets. Because, you know, that's why the EU have built, they've built all sorts of, you know, roads and everything around. They've done everything to destroy Tara. It's just, oh my God. It is amazing the destruction they have done in Ireland. It's just, it's heartbreaking. But the Irish people are waking up, you know, and that's fantastic. Do you know the Irish people took the banks to court and they won?
Hurrah, hurrah. This is more good news that we like to hear.
The women did it. The women suddenly decided, we've had enough of this bullshit.
Exactly.
And they're taking the government to court.
Exactly. See, this is what I call, what will be called the grandmother revolution.
Yes. Yes.
And because the grandmothers are beyond glamour.
Yeah.
You know, they see the emperor without his clothes. Doesn't matter. I've seen you everywhere. By the time you're a grandmother, you've seen everything. You know, there's no mystery about, yeah, you know, what's behind clothing anymore. And so
yeah,
grandmothers see what they see.
I know.
And mostly have compassion.
Yes. It's very important. You see, the thing is, Monty's explained to me, once Ireland wakes up and takes back its power, all the other countries will do it automatically. They will say, this works. Okay, we do it. And the next country, and they all do it. But Ireland's got to be the first to do it. It's a small country. It'll do it. And then, my God, it will open the eyes of all the other countries and they will do so. Banking has controlled it. I mean, Wilson, who was president of the United States when he gave control to the Federal Reserve, he wrote a letter on his deathbed apologizing to the world for what he had done. Because he handed over everything to the banks. And they've been living off our backs ever since. They've controlled everything. That's coming to an end very quickly.
So it's all about this awful abusive relationship that we are owned and yep, can be traded.
Exactly. Oh my God.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, sure, yeah, of course you own me. What? But we fall for it time and again. Oh, because it's like we've been traumatized so much that we're sensitized in that area so much we don't want to be hurt anymore in that area. Please don't. And so, okay, I'll do your bidding this one last time.
Mm. Monty's family thought if I was penniless, I would not be able to do anything. But you know what? It drove me even more to do what I had to do. When Monty died at his funeral, I didn't know I was going to stand up and speak. I just did. And I said I would continue his work to the best of my ability. I don't have any qualifications. I don't pretend to have. And they didn't even wait for me to get back into my seat to tell me, don't be ridiculous, Veronica. You can't do anything. Several people said that to me. They didn't even wait for me to get back into my seat. And I thought, I'll show you. And I did. And it was tough. But I did it, and I continue to do it. So, you know, determination is important. And if you make up your mind, you are not going to submit to the control system anymore, and you find yourself and you find your strength, nothing can stop you. And that's what you have to do.
Yep. And everything just happens.
Yep.
By breathing.
That's right.
You just have to keep breathing. As long as you take the next breath, everything yep. turns out all right. And sometimes we're scared to take the next breath. Because, like, where has it got us so far? Like, here. Okay. But that's what it can happen in one breath, from one point, one cycle to the next.
That's right. That's right. My God.
Veronica.
Yes, my dear.
Thank you so much for sharing this time with me.
I've enjoyed it.
Bless your heart. Thank you so much, Veronica. Good night.
God bless.
Beyond.